Hello, TEF. Very happy to be able to be worshiping you guys today, and just excited that today we are continuing our series on understanding spiritual disciplines. About a few weeks ago, I had a chance to talk about solitude, and I felt like a conviction that God has been laying on my heart throughout the year of 2021 is that I personally need to draw back to God and really be in tune with Him. And I felt like as I was going through this journey of understanding who God is and how to get back into scripture, into prayer, into worship, I felt like our church too needs that same sort of conviction as well. And so today, as we talk about spiritual discipline of fasting, you can open up your Bibles to Matthew 6. We'll be looking at the whole chapter, but the most key verses will be verses 16 to 18. So that's Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18. So just to start off with an opening question, have you ever given up something in order to gain something else? Have you ever given up on something in order to gain something else? Now, I feel like throughout all of our lives, you know that we live in a culture that's known as a consumer culture, where we have maybe too much of everything. And so there's always probably a regular discipline that we all have where we have to learn to sacrifice stuff. And so some things that I kind of listed out as examples is for some of us, we've had to stop watching certain TV shows or streaming apps during this season because we want to be more productive. For others of us, we've probably had to delete apps on our phone, maybe video games, maybe some other social media apps, just so that we can be more productive. For some of us with physical things, we might have denied ourselves like sugar or junk food. I know some of my students, like they sometimes want to give up soda or they want to give up candy during certain times so they can be more healthy. For some of us too, like if we're trying to save up money, we try to stop spending in order to save up for a new car or for vacations or for our children's college funds or something. You know, there are many different reasons to give up bad habits to gain new ones. But the spiritual discipline of fasting is really learning to deny our ways for God's ways. The spiritual discipline of fasting is really about learning to deny our ways for God's ways. Back in 2009, I was probably 21, a college student, I had a chance to do a trip to Western China where we were able to just do a lot of ministry there and get to know a lot of the people there. And on that trip, I fasted for 7 days. I did it with two other of my teammates, and we didn't eat any food for 7 days. We only drank water, and then we actually went out to go do ministry. It was a big blessing. My body became really physically weak, and there were just like really strange things happening with me. But what was interesting was like this clarity in understanding a clarity in understanding my need for God, and a clarity in understanding that that I need Him above all things, all physical things. I actually started fasting thinking that, oh, I want to just save more souls. I want to be more effective in knowing God. But instead, it became a time of really saying, I need Him. I desire Him. And so as we start this message, the first question I have for us is, what is fasting? David Platt says this about fasting. Fasting is the practice of physically putting aside food, maybe even food and drink for a time, as a physical expression of a spiritual reality. Fasting is a physical expression of a spiritual reality. I believe that fasting, food is what's the main thing we're talking about today, but there's also an aspect, again, of a Christian's life is that we are called to deny ourselves. In Matthew 16, verses 24 to 25, Jesus says to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." And so one thing that we see as a Christian is that there is something more important than our physical needs, more important than how we need food, and what we really truly need is we need God. I have this photo of Jesus out in the wilderness. This photo is actually meant to highlight when Jesus was out fasting 40 days and being tempted by Satan. And one thing I always said about this passage is that when he fasted 40 days, he was at his physical weakest, but Jesus was also at his spiritual strongest. And so sometimes we feel so bad for Jesus. He fasted 40 days. It actually says no food for sure, and just like praying. And then when Satan comes, we're worried for him that he's going to be tempted. But one thing we forget is that when you fast, you may be at your physical weakest, but you are at your spiritual strongest. And so today's roadmap is that we'll be taking a look at verses 16 to 18 in Matthew 6. And then the first point that we're going to look at is why we practice spiritual disciplines. Why we practice spiritual disciplines. And the main point is it's not about getting something, but really about knowing someone. Point number two is going to be very practical, and we'll look at what fasting is and what fasting isn't, just to give you a very clear idea of what the heart of fasting is. And then lastly, with point number three, I want to issue some practical challenges and just some practical points about how to fast, and I hope that we can actually try to do fasting this upcoming week. And so let me read Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18 for you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So the reason why we practice spiritual disciplines, you know, solitude and fasting, worship, prayer, getting into scriptures are all spiritual disciplines to grow our intimacy with God and to really ultimately grow our prayer life. So when I talk about solitude, when I talk about fasting, it's not separate things, but all of these things are trying to help us to grow closer to God. In Matthew 6, just to give you a quick background about this chapter, this is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' biggest sermon, one of the longest recorded just instances of Jesus speaking and preaching, and it's all about his kingdom. And what we see here is that the spiritual disciplines, the spiritual discipline of prayer in verses 5 to 15, and the spiritual discipline of fasting in verses 16 to 18, were being misappropriated to focus on ourselves instead of God. So in this passage, Matthew 6, we see that basically there were people who were misusing the reason of why we do these disciplines to focus on ourselves instead of God. And you see in verses 5, Matthew 6, verses 5, it says this, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing on the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others." And then we see in verse 16, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their face to show others they are fasting." And so Jesus keeps saying, hypocrites, hypocrites, hypocrites. And he's really trying to call out the Pharisees and then the religious elite in some ways, or the most religious, pious people. Because a lot of the people back in ancient Israel were really focusing on fasting as a way to just basically look good in front of other people. And that was completely the wrong reason for why we're called to fast, why we're called to be in solitude, because the point of fasting is about focusing on God and really honoring Him above all things. It's about aligning ourselves with His will above all things. Fasting is not about getting something, it's about knowing someone. Verses 17 to 18 of the passage says this, "But when you fast," and then I just want to highlight this. It says, "when you fast," not "if you fast." And so if you've never fasted before, you got to look at this passage. It basically says that almost like being a Christian, there's an aspect of fasting that needs to constantly happen. Put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So what you see here is that it's all about fasting for our Father, who is unseen, who is not near, at least in the physical sense, but who is always there to guide us and to reward us. And this reward that I really believe that God gives us is His presence. That if you actually get a chance to fast or to not eat a meal, like God, you can really feel His presence around you. You know, personal intimacy with God is more important than your job, your finances, your family. Personal intimacy with God will change the way you parent, the way you love your spouse, the way you are at school, or the way you even do work. If you emphasize personal family just as yourself as a Christian, it will make you rely on Him more and grow more in prayer. It will change the way you parent. It will change the way you love people. It will show you that above all things, that all the responsibilities that you have right now is not about how good you are, but it's really about relying on God and His strength to do things well too as well. The disciplines are an expression of our need for God and really to let Him lead, to let Him guide us. We need guidance, we need direction, and for Him to lead. We need God ultimately. So why do we fast? Why do we need to fast? Just to go back to this point again, you know, the Bible repeatedly mentions fasting, and it's often accompanied with a desire to change our ways, to repent, and also to turn back to Him. In Joel 2:12, just going to the Old Testament, we see that this verse says this, "Return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping and mourning. And so what we see constantly is that whenever people were fasting in the Old Testament, it was almost a time when you were doing something that was wrong or you felt like you were distant from God, and people would fast physical things, especially food, to really tell God, I need you again. The earliest instance of fasting mentioned in Scripture is actually in Exodus chapter 34, verse 28. And let me read this passage for us. It says this, Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And so in Exodus 34, verse 28, it shows you that when Moses was with the Lord on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, he didn't eat anything. And what it shows you is that sometimes when we're fasting, it's almost like a way to like be filled with God. Like Moses didn't have to eat. Jesus didn't have to eat when he was in the wilderness because they're being filled with God above all things. And so in Scripture, you see this is a constant reminder that Moses, Daniel, Jonah, David, they all fasted because they always wanted to get closer to God. Fasting was really a way to be filled by him and to really know him above all things. I think for our current culture, so why do we fast now? Again, I kind of highlighted earlier, we live in a consumer culture. We are taught that happiness and fulfillment can only be found through consumption, basically. If you ever have a chance to watch television, which I hope a lot of us have had a chance to do that, you'll see that there are just constant commercials just barraging us with things that we are missing, things that we need. Sometimes there's a word actually in America that we call comfort food. And what that basically means is that if you're in distress, if you're stressed out, if you're anxious, if you feel like you're lacking something, come eat at McDonald's for comfort food. Come to In-N-Out for comfort food. Come and get more things from us. If you ever had seen commercials about diamond rings or about the new cars, they're all trying to make you just almost think about status, about wealth, about how this will fulfill you if you get these things. And what you see about our consumer culture is that this is really a me culture. A me culture instead of a God culture. And everything that we're looking at in our lives is just like almost in a way, just we're asking ourselves mentally, does this entertain me? Does this make me happier? Is this sermon something that makes me feel like a better person? And a lot of things that we do with God, we kind of bring this consumer mentality into it too. And that's why it's just so important to recognize that it's not about us, it's not about the physical things that we get in this world, but it's really about being filled by God and to have his presence with us and let him lead and guide us. One thing that we do that's kind of a modern form of fasting right now is Lent. Now, Lent is actually occurring right now. It's the 40 days before Easter. And I think one thing that we always kind of say at church especially is, what are you giving up for Lent? And so I'll tell you right now that our youth group right now, myself, there's probably 75 students that maybe 80% of them right now are fasting right now. A lot of them are fasting soda, social media, video games, sugar, other technology. I am personally fasting. I'm trying to fast watching movies and YouTube and Facebook and Instagram, which is I'm very addicted to. And all of this is really in a way to just to get closer to God and to say this for his kingdom. But one thing I think that's really dangerous about Lent sometimes is that it can be something that we have to be careful about is legalism. You know, like we have to remember constantly that it's not about Pastor Austin fasting right now that we fast, but it's really about remembering the heart and spirit behind what we're doing right now. You know, like I think that if you're thinking about Lent right now, maybe consider doing it. It's never too late to start. It's just a really good way to start thinking about what Jesus did on the cross for us and prepare our hearts for his sacrifice that allows us to have this new life in him. And so just to go into the next section, we're now looking at what fasting is and what fasting is not. And so just some of the benefits of fasting. I have three benefits of what fasting is. The first benefit is that fasting identifies who the master of your life is. Fasting identifies who the master of your life is. In Matthew 6:24, it says this, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Ephesians 2:4-5 says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." I really feel like, you know, like the first thing about, again, about fasting is that it identifies who the master of your life is. I think fasting really does reveal sin. Like when I first started Lenting about two weeks ago almost, I thought it would be really easy to be able to stop, you know, looking at social media and then to focus more on family. But what started in the beginning was more of a struggle with ministry, a struggle with family issues that kind of came up in my family, just with me and my wife. Just really reminding myself like just how sinful I was, just how much it's so hard to give up these things all the time. When you fast, God reveals who your real masters are. God shows you that there are addictions in this world that we have to let go of. And what he says very clearly in Matthew 6:24 is that we cannot serve two masters. And so I really feel like the first thing we kind of see is that we cannot serve God and the world at the same time. It's important to let go of things. And so I feel like, again, think about things that you need to let go of because that's the first thing you kind of see. Point number two is that the second benefit of fasting is it gives us a higher perspective. You know, instead of living for our own happiness, we are called really to seek his kingdom. In John chapter 4, verses 31 to 35, this is one of the most famous stories of Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well. Now, Jesus is preaching the gospel to this woman, and there's a lot of needs in her life. Like, it's a great passage of evangelism. There's brokenness here, and this woman does come to Christ. But what we see in verses 31 and 35 was that Jesus was hungry, but he was filled with God. And so it says this, "Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' Then his disciples said to each other, 'Could someone have brought him food?' And then Jesus says this, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest.'" And what I think about is so amazing about this is that there's no explicit mention of fasting here, but what Jesus says here is that he has food to eat that you know nothing about, that his food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And so one thing we see is that when you fast sometimes, you get a clear picture of recognizing that it's not about me, it's not about how I climb the work ladder, it's not about how good my kids are right now, it's really about, do I know God and do I know his desire for more people to know him? Fasting reminds us that we are living for something more than fleeting pleasures. There is something greater in the spiritual realm, and it's really seeing people come to Christ. The last point about the benefits of fasting is this. Fasting provides insights into important decisions. Fasting provides insight into important decisions. Just like solitude, which I mentioned a few weeks ago, when we get a chance to just like really make space for God, we can see that like with Jesus, he would fast or he would go into solitude to call his disciples. He would go into solitude when he was grieving. He would go into solitude when he was fearful about certain things. And it's the same thing with fasting too as well. That actually in the book of Acts, that when the church, early church was around, they would fast to really know God's will too. In Acts chapter 13, verses 2 to 3, this is one instance of that occasion. "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." You know, Acts has many instances of this, and it's all about usually thinking about where does God want to lead us? Where do we send our disciples? What church should we start right now? Prayer and fasting makes us attentive to God's word and wisdom. It softens us to the Holy Spirit and to God's guidance. You know, for some of us right now, we might have some very important decisions at the start of March. We might have very important future decisions about what job do we want to pursue? What career are we heading towards? How is my family doing? How is my children's health going doing right now? Is there a city that we want to move to at the end of this year? How are our finances doing? Do we need to change something? And I believe that when we have these big decisions, it's so important to fast and to pray, to bring fasting into it, to actually sacrifice something, to just tell God we need him desperately. Back when Jolie and I first started dating, we were just about to start dating, and when I first asked Jolie out, she told me, "I need 2 weeks to pray about this. Let's not talk for 2 weeks, let's not see each other." And then so I was like, this is really good. Okay, we'll just spend some time praying, fasting, and doing those things. I personally did not fast. I just spent some time praying and talking to some of my friends about, is Jolie the right person? And when we actually got back together in 2 weeks, Jolie and I, we had this chance to talk about our processing. And what I found out was that Jolie's mother, Jolie told her mom about our relationship, and her mother actually fasted for one full day for us. Just to ask God, like, is Austin the right person? I've never met Austin, but from what Jolie tells me, he's a pastor, he loves the Lord, he's American, but is he the right person? And after a day of fasting, I remember Jolie told me that she was waiting expectantly for what will her mom say, what did God tell her? And her mom just was like, it sounds pretty good. Like, there's no red flags, I'm really blessed by him. And I think what was just really great about this this memory is, like, that was just really powerful to recognize that, wow, Jolie's mom really, really loves God. Jolie's mom really, really wanted to see his direction for both of us. And that even Jolie's mom was trying to see, like, is God with us right now? And it's still something that sticks to me in my relationship, that it started with fasting, with prayer and reflection. And I think that's just so important to have those big decisions, to not rush things, but sometimes just to really process and pray and see if God will just open doors, and to go slowly with things too. Fasting is just an incredible opportunity to really, again, have insight into important decisions. So these are the three benefits of fasting: identifying who our masters of our life are, it gives us a higher perspective, and then it provides insight into important decisions. And I'll go through this really quickly, but there are three reasons what fasting is not. Fasting is not to make God love you more. Okay, if you fast, God's not going to like bless you even more than someone who hasn't fasted. It actually says in Psalm 51, verse 17, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken, contrite heart. You, God, will not despise." And what that basically means is that the greatest way to love God, again, is in the heart, and it's in repentance. It's in recognizing that I want to draw near to Him. So it's not about fasting physical things, but it's also about the heart attitude too. Point number two is that fasting is not about getting what you want. If you starve yourself, you do not strong arm God to give you what you want. You do not fast because you want a girlfriend. You do not fast because you want a better job, or you want to move to a better city, or you want more money, because you cannot convince God, if I don't eat right now, that He will do something for you. And then point number three is that fasting is not about physical health. Pastor Jason mentioned in the announcements that it's not about getting skinnier, it's not about weight loss. And you actually have to be very careful about this, because I know there are some people with eating disorders who might use this as an excuse to lose weight or something. You have to be careful about this, because fasting is not about yourself, it's about God. And I think whenever we try to fast junk food, or fast to be healthier, or just eat salad or something, it's all about me, 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 and not about God. And so just be careful about these three reasons. It's not about making God love you more. It's not about getting what you want. It's not for physical health. I have five practical advice. So as we get to the closer to the challenge, I just want to just encourage you, okay? Like, if you want to start fasting, the first thing is talk to your doctor. Because if you have a certain medical condition, like diabetes or high or low blood pressure, maybe you shouldn't fast. You should be careful about missing meals, because it could cause bodily harm to you. If this is your first time starting to fast, maybe just consider starting off small, just fasting one meal. So do not try to fast for 7 days, not try to fast for 40 days, but maybe consider just fasting one small meal. I actually had a chance to fast this week on Wednesday, and I just fasted lunch. I made sure that I ate a semi-okay breakfast, and then I waited around 4:35 p.m. to finally eat a meal after that. And it was just a chance just to start off small, and just to let myself feel a little hungry, and just to desire God more. Point number three for practical advice is to take it slow. So if you know that this is a day that you would like to fast, please do not fast if you're going to Disneyland that day, or if you're running a marathon that day, or if you're trying to like exercise really hard. Make sure you have a day where you can take it easy, where you can actually spend time, an hour or two, just to pray and reflect with God. And then point number four is use the time you would have spent eating for prayer and devotion. Use the time you would have spent eating for prayer and devotion. And so one thing I firmly believe is that if you're going to empty yourself of something, you must fill yourself with God. Do not empty yourself of something just to complain or to feel hungry, but to really get some time into Scripture and into time of prayer. And then lastly, really stick with it. Fasting does not come easy. And so I've heard many stories of people fasting just saying, that was okay, I'm just hungry, I'm angry right now. I really believe that with fasting, we need consistency and practice. Because the more you do it, the more you'll get closer to God, and eventually God will reveal His heart to you. what He has to say about a certain issue in your life or what you're really asking God for direction to. And so really this challenge is find a meal time to practice fasting this week. Be intentional during that time. Journal, reflect, and ultimately pray during this time. I would say with prayer, don't just pray for yourself or pray for just your needs, but make time for yourself to pray for our community, to pray for your friends and your family, and to pray for this world. I really believe that the power of prayer for someone who's fasting is very strong. Like God really will reveal truths to you. And so just make sure you pray in that way. And I also want to encourage you just to consider also fasting for Lent to prepare yourself for Easter too as well. And so I hope this sermon really blesses you guys. Why don't I close us in a word of prayer right now? Father, I just want to thank you just so much for the spiritual disciplines, God. We thank you, Lord, just so much for the example of the church fathers, for the Israelites, Lord God, and just their heart, Lord God, to be closer to you, to desire more of you, God. And Lord, I know that we do not talk about fasting enough, Father, but we see that fasting is, it really is ultimately in Scripture about food, but it's also about, Lord, just giving up worldly desires, worldly possessions, to recognize that we want to be closer to you, to rely on you more, to let you transform us, Lord God, to show us, Lord God, that that we need you, Lord God, to change the hearts of our loved ones. We need you, Lord God, to change our career paths or change our habits and behaviors. And we need to rely on you above all things. And so, Lord, just continue to really bless our community, bless our fellowship, Lord. Show us, Lord, just how we can give up more to follow you. We love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.